puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
We're talking Scots. We're talking whiskey with who else but Gordon Goldsborough, who joins me now for Abandoned Manitoba. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia. Yes, trust the Scots to come up with a thing called Rubble Club, whereby architects drown their sorrows over who knows how many glasses of whiskey when their life's work gets demolished. You know, so this week I'm bringing the concept, but not the whiskey, by the way.
Thank you.
To Manitoba by looking at architects through our provincial history for whom the majority of their design work is gone.
So who invented the concept of Rubble Club?
It was the invention of two noted Scottish architects, both now deceased, Izzy Metstein and Andy McMillan. They began practicing together in the mid-1950s, and they designed churches and schools in the modernist style that had been pioneered by American architect Frank Lloyd Wright. However, whenever one of their buildings was demolished, Metstein and McMillan would commiserate over glasses of Scotch whiskey. Initially, they called it the McAllen Club, after the whiskey they consumed, but it eventually became the Rubble Club. The premise is that for architects whose buildings have been destroyed, there are three ways, or three rules, I guess, that you need to fulfill to get into the Rubble Club. The first is that the architect of the demolished building had to be alive and not responsible for its destruction. Otherwise, you could get into Rubble Club just by going on a bender and just getting rid of them all. No, you couldn't do that. Second is the building must have been built to be permanent. In other words, you know, there are occasionally buildings that are only intended for short-term use. You couldn't have that because they were, of course, intended to be demolished. And the third is the demolition had to be intentional. In other words, the building was destroyed deliberately and not the result of an accident like a fire or an earthquake. But in coming up with a Rubble Club of Manitoba, I did take a few liberties with the rules simply to make it more practical for me to research in a short period of time.
Okay, so what were your liberties?
There were three. First, the architects did not necessarily have to be alive at the time of a building's loss. Second, any method of loss counts. In other words, buildings that were lost accidentally by fire are included because, in my view, fires are not necessarily random acts. Some are just as intentional as demolition by machine. Plus, you know, I had to review hundreds of building losses, and it would simply take far too long to assess the degree of deliberateness of a particular loss. And the third liberty I took is that I excluded most modern architects who worked in a partnership, you know, where the roles of individual architects were nearly impossible to determine. If a particular building was designed by a team, well, I couldn't always tell who had the primary design responsibility for it. And so I considered only those architects that fulfilled sort of a more general criteria. And I also, by the way, only considered architects that had at least six buildings to their credit. Because, well, if you'd only ever designed one building and it got torn down, yes, 100% of your legacy was gone, but it didn't strike me as very significant that way. So in the end, I came up with a top five list of architects with the highest proportion of their work having been demolished. We'll list them from lowest to highest percentage. Oh.
All right, then let's start with number five.
That would be Frank R. Evans. He's our most recent arrival in the top five, having come to Manitoba in 1901 to establish an architectural practice. Before he retired in 1934, Evans designed at least 50 buildings that we know of which 30, or 60%, have been lost. But one of Evans's most conspicuous designs still standing is the Somerset Block near Portage in Maine, a tall office building from 1906. One of the most recent demolitions of his occurred about a year ago, the former YWCA building on 11th Street in Brandon.
Okay, so who is that number four?
Our next most demolished architect is James B. Mitchell, J.B. Mitchell. And if that name sounds familiar to Winnipeggers, it's because he is memorialized by, of course, J.B. Mitchell School. And he had a long association with the Winnipeg School Division as its in-house architect. Mitchell arrived here in 1874 as a member of the Northwest Mounted Police. And after returning to civilian life, he settled in the Point Douglas area of Winnipeg. He designed 39 schools around Winnipeg, of which 24 have been demolished, or 62%. And by the way, among the surviving Mitchell designs are Cecil Rhodes, Clifton, David Livingston, Earl Grey, Faraday, George V, Grosvenor, Isaac Brock, Laura Secord, Lavarandre, Luxton, Mulvey, Principal Sparling, and Riverview.
So many familiar names. Who's at number three, Gordon?
Well, we have a two-way tie for third and second place at 76% of buildings demolished. One of them is Eldred D. Tuttle, who arrived in Winnipeg in 1899 and after working in construction for several years, started an architectural practice in 1906. 37 of his buildings were known to have existed, of which 28 are now gone. Tuttle has perhaps the most geographically diverse collection in our top five, with buildings as far afield as, well, Swan River on the west, Whitemouth on the east, and Gretna on the south. Like J.B. Mitchell, he seems to have specialized in schools, and several of his schools remain standing, although to my knowledge, only one is still a school. And that's the Starbuck Consolidated School, built in 1910, and today home to the Starbuck Hockey Academy.
And you said there was another person tied for third place. Who was that?
Right. That would be Charles H. Wheeler, who designed at least 38 buildings and probably more because his full legacy isn't completely known, of which 29 are now gone. Wheeler arrived here in 1882, and the next year he designed the Holy Trinity Anglican Church over on Donald at Graham that we know, of course, is now under threat. Wheeler designed a host of other noteworthy buildings, one of the most prominent being the former home of Hugh John MacDonald, the only son of Prime Minister John A. MacDonald. Hugh John lived on Carleton Street, and his home is now Dalnevirt Museum.
And that brings us to number one. Who's that?
The most demolished architect in Manitoba history is, drum roll please, Charles A. Barber. He is certainly one of our earliest architects, too. Barber came to Winnipeg in 1876, and he designed many of the new city's buildings in the late 1870s and early 1880s, including the much-beloved Gingerbread City Hall that opened in 1886 and was demolished in 1962 to make way for the present City Hall complex. Of the 17 buildings known to have been designed by Barber and his brother Earl, all but one are gone today. In other words, 94% of Barber's work has been erased. The only remaining building is the Bathgate block on Princess Avenue. It dates from 1883, and it's been empty for the past 25 years. So there's the abandonment in today's story. Barber left Winnipeg in 1887, and here's where it gets kind of interesting. Following a charge of election bribery, he moved to Montreal, and in 1903, he and his wife were arrested on charges of extortion with violence. And the court heard that they had behaved similarly in other cities, too. Barber was sentenced to 7 years in prison. He ultimately died in British Columbia in 1915. So one of our more colorful architects.
Yeah, I was going to say, that took a turn. Thank you, Gordon. Maybe you will have to be the founding president of the Rubble Club of Manitoba.
And, you know, that such a group could serve a useful purpose, not just drinking whiskey, by advocating for the creative, adaptive reuse of buildings as a better alternative to demolition. The environmental cost of retrofitting an existing building to make them more suitable for modern uses is lower than the environmental cost of materials needed to build a whole new building to replace it. You know, so unless an older building is structurally compromised and can't be repaired, it makes more sense environmentally to reuse them rather than to demolish and rebuild. So if any of our listeners are out there are interested in forming a Rubble Club of Manitoba, and who knows, maybe there'd be whiskey involved, contact me at Gordon, G-O-R-D-O-N, at mhs.mb.ca.
Thank you for this, Gordon. What's up for next week?
Well, I'm sure that most of our listeners have heard about the latest big thing in technology, artificial intelligence, or AI for short. In playing recently with one of the AI products, I had reason to be, let's say, skeptical about their capabilities. So next week, we'll address the question, what do AIs know about Manitoba history?
Now, before you go, Gordon, I have an idea for what the title of your YouTube channel should be. Whiskies with Gordon. What do you think? Bruce? He can join you. Well, he likes whiskey.
Oh, yeah, Bruce and I. Yes, for sure.
Next week.
Next week, Whiskies with Gordon.
Okay.
Thanks, Gordon.
Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.